Pigud Vachra Bosei Tez Daf is Pesachim Daf Mem Beis, and we have the schus to finish the second parak in Maseches Pesachim. We're here at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis Tonu Rabbanan, about 7 or 8 lines up. Achal Tzli Mi Ba'od Yom. If you ate roasted Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach before Pesach actually hit, so Brisa says Chayev, you are going to be Chayev. V'kazayis no mishachashecha. If you eat a kazayis of partially cooked Korban Pesach after nightfall, right? Again, we said yesterday that you're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach if it's partially cooked, partially roasted, rather, it's more accurate. So in that case, also chayev. So you are also chayev. And the Gemara points out, katani tzli dumya dina. And this price is comparing the chiyuv to roast the Korban Pesach to the iser of eating it partially roasted. Ma no belav, af tzli belav. Just like it's the mitzvah to eat it roasted. Just like the mitzvah, just like the iser to eat it partially roasted on the Seder night is a lav, is an iser lav, you can get malchus for. So too, if you eat it roasted before the appropriate time, i.e. on Erev Pesach, that's also a lav. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Bishlama, it makes sense that that the iser of eating it partially roasted, that's a lav. I got that because ksiv, al tochlu menu na, right? Don't eat it partially roasted. Elat slimi nolan, but how do you know you can't eat it fully roasted on Erev Pesach? Because the Pasuk says, v'achluza basar b'layla hazeh, you should eat the meat on this night, i.e. b'layla in b'yom lo, right? Meaning eat it on Pesach night and not on Erev Pesach during the day. But that's not a lav, right? That's a lav abami klala sehu. That's an iser that's inferred by a mitzvah, right? If I tell you do this, and that's specific, do this on this night, implying that you shouldn't do it during the day, so that implication is not a lav, right? We say v'chol lav abami klala ase. That's considered, that has the status of an iser ase, meaning, for example, you would get malchus for it, etc., etc. So that's not a lav. That's an iser asay. Right? That's something that comes about because of a mitzvah that you have to do something during a specific time. So doing it at not a specific time is included in that asay, right? You would violate the asay. You would be chayiv in a lav. So Amar Rav Chisda, Hamani, who is this brisa? Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Tanya, who said, like Rabbi Yehuda said in the brisa, Shor v'seh saruah v'kalut nidava taseh ozo. Meaning, there's a chiyuv, that pasuk is talking about what types of korbanos you're allowed to bring. So it's not a chiyuv, I take it back. Meaning, what kind of korbanos you're allowed to bring? So a korban can't have a mum, a blemish. So the blemishes here are, sarua is, if one of the limbs or the legs of the animal is larger than the other, or kalut, or for whatever reason the hooves are unsplit, meaning that they're, you know, some sort of weird deviation, right? It doesn't mean the animal's not kosher, it's just not doesn't work. I mean, it's not good for a korban. Right, sarua, if you look at Rashi, that one eye is bigger than the other, or one limb is bigger than the other. Okay, either way. So either way, if you have a blemish in an animal, nidavata so, you can give it to the Beis HaMikdash, right, as a donation, but you can't give it as a korban. So atamat bis lebedek avayis, via atamat bis the tzimimim lebedek avayis. Implying, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you're only allowed to give these blemished animals to the bedek avayis, to the Beis HaMikdash as a gift, but you're not allowed to give a tamim, an unblemished animal, to the bedek avayis, because really you should offer it as a korban, meaning it's not the best way to make use of this animal. So mikam amru kol hamatzpis tamimim lebedek avayis over ba'asei. Right? Apparently, you see here that anybody who gives an unblemished animal to the bedek avayis instead of offering it as a korban, he violates an asei. But ainli ela ba'asei below sase minayin. How do you know you also violate a lo sase? And this is what we're trying to prove here. Tamalomar, because the pasuk says vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Right, that at the beginning of that whole story, vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Li mid al kol parsha kula shehei below sase. Right, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that apparently the word lemor, as the Gemara is going to say, indicates that there's an Isser as well. So that's over here as well. By our case also, that whole story about the Korban Pesach also starts by the Baruch Shem Moshe Limur, right? That's the beginning of the Parsha. So you see that there's an Isser Asay, and if it starts Lemur, so then there's a Lav as well. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Now just to be clear, it's not every time the Torah says by the Baruch Shem Moshe Lemur, you're talking about an Isser. Right? Tosas already points out Dibur Maschol Lemur that that's only when you have an Alav Abamachol Asay, an Alav that's inferred by Mitzvah Asay, and you also have the by the Baruch Shem Moshe Lemur. So that's going to indicate that there's an Isser here as well, but not every single time it says by the Baruch Shem Moshe Lemur. Right? Obviously, there are a ton of them, and they're not necessarily talking about Isurim. Okay, just to finish off, Amar Lo Rebbe Lebar Kafra My Mashma. Right? Where do you get that Lemur indicates Lo Sase? So an Isser. So Amar Lo Dechtiv Pasuk says Lemur Lo Nemar Bedvarim. That's the implication from Lemur Lo Nemar Bedvarim. Beirav Armi Beirabi explained a little differently that Lemur is Lav Amor, that there was an Isser Lav said over here. Okay, fine. Excuse me. Now we said in the Mishnah, Meitash Mishra Shal Nachtom, right, the water that has a baker is using to wash his hands needs to be disposed of. So Tani Chada Shofchim B'Makom Madron, Ve'in Shofchim B'Makom Hayishbaron, Ve'Tani Idach Shofchim B'Makom Hayishbaron. One Brisa says you're allowed to pour out the water into a place that's sloping downward, but not in a place where the water will pool. And another Brisa says no, you're even allowed to pour into an area in Ishbaron where the water will pool. Right? So obviously, the concern is that if the water pools, then you have leftover dough and chametz and flour, etc., in that area, so then it could turn into chametz, and perhaps the owner, if it's an area where the owner owns that space, so you could turn into, you know, obviously chametz that you own, etc. So what's the difference? Meaning, why does one brisa say it's motor, one brisa says it's usher to pour it in a place where it'll pool? So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha had nefishe kavu, had nefishe de kavu, had lo nefishe de lo kavu." Right? If you have a lot of water, so then it won't pool. Right? If you don't have a lot of water, then it won't. Or what did I say? If you do have a lot of water, then it will pool. Then it's usher. Then you have to pour it down a slope. But if you don't have a lot of water, then it will not pool, and you can just leave it right in the area where you know where it's flat. Amar Rav Yehuda, isha lo talush ela b'mayim shalanu. Mayim shalanu. Right, I did that as you'll see in a second. That's why I made a mistake. But Rav Yehuda says a woman should not knead her dough, if you're obviously for matzah, unless there's water shalanu. Literally means that lun, right, that it slept overnight. But really, Rashi explains that it's talking about we're concerned about the temperature here, and we want the water to be medium or lukewarm, right, instead of warm. Right, Rashi explains, right, because of the time of year, right, so it could be that the waters that they're taking from the rivers are warm, so you have to leave it out, right, so that it becomes a little bit colder, because, again, heat and warmth is going to increase the chametz process. So, oddly enough, Darsha Rav Masna B'Papunya, so Rav Masna explained this halacha in Papunya one day, and Lamachar, and the next day, Aisu Kule Ama Chatzvayu V'Asur L'Gabe. Then everybody, the next day, right, brought their bottles and their water pitchers to him, and they said, "Amrulei havlan maya." They said, "Give us water." Now, what was going on over here? So he made the exact same. They all made the exact same mistake that I did. Right, I initially read it, but mayim shalanu. Right, what does shalanu mean? Shalanu means our water. So Rav Masna said, "You have to make your matzah with mayim shalanu," and everybody thought it meant you have to make it with my water. I don't know what they thought he meant, but you have to make it with Rav Masna's water. So they all came the next day with their pitchers, right, like a story out of Chelm. Right? But again, Mistama, the point of the Gemara is to show, right, Mikamcha Yisrael, that even though that makes no sense, or maybe they just didn't understand, but still, the next day they just came to the Rav and they're like, okay, so give us all water. Right? They might have thought, I don't know, the Rav had to bless the water, whatever it was. So he said, Amr Lehu, no. I don't know, debeso Amri. No, what I meant was, water that was slept in a house, quote unquote, but meaning water that slept overnight, mayim she lanu, water that rested, not water that that's ours. Okay, fine. Darsh Rava taught ish lo tzolosh bechama v'lo bechamechama v'lo b'mayim gufin min ha'amolier v'lo tzagbiyah yad. Well, I guess that's probably too fast. Right? She shouldn't need water need water. She shouldn't knead dough with water. Bachama, that's been in the sun, or anything heated by the sun, or any water that's been taken from a moliar, Rashi says, is, if you can imagine, is a witch's cauldron. That's not what Rashi says, but that's basically what you can imagine. It's a big cauldron left on the fire to cook forever, for a long time. So some sort of cauldron. She should also not take her hands out, literally means from the oven, but it means, obviously not from the oven, but it means from the dough, right? Actually, tikmor is called a pas until the entire dough is finished, because you got to keep on, right? Rashi says, you got to keep on moving the dough so it doesn't become chametz. V'tzorach shnei kelim, you need to have two buckets of water over there. Echad shemekatefes bo, echad shemetanez bo ziyadeh, one of which she can, you know, put with the dough, and one which she would wash her hands and cool down her hands, rather, it's more accurate, metanez, to cool down her hands, because again, when she's working with the dough constantly, so then that's going to, right, we're concerned that that'll warm it up and heat it up and fat, hasten the chametz process. So what's the deal if she did use warm water? Right? Does that mess things up completely, right, right away? Or is there still a point where we can say, all right, maybe everything is fine? So Marzutra Amar Motor, Ravashi Amar Asr. Right? So Amar Marzutra, Marzutra explained, Minah, how do I know that it's Motor? The tiny one, the Raisa, ain't losin asurim in Pesach, right? You can't soak barley on Pesach. Vim lasas nikbahu asurim, velon is baku, but mutarim. And if you did, so then if it split, then it's asur, but if it didn't split, it's mutar. Right, so you see that there's a scenario here where you can check the dough or check the barley, right? Check it afterwards and see what happens. And if it did split, then it's asur, but if it didn't, so then it's fine. So too, you can check the dough. And see if it turned into chametz. For Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says, "What are you talking about? After kuli chada mechisa mechitinu, what is that? All machit is to weave a weaving, some sort of like garment. But what he's saying is like, are you weaving all halachos together? Wait, what? That's by one din. That's by barley. What are you talking about? Hechad itmar, itmar, hechad lo, itmar lo, itmar. You can't just apply." Halacha from soaking barley into a case where using warm water for dough. It's totally different. And he would say that no, it'd be usher because lamaisa, it's going to be very close to a problem. Rashi explains, interestingly enough, that we're talking about, it's a knas, it's a punishment, that she, mistama, must have done it somewhat on purpose. All right, anyway, interesting, it's an interesting thing over here. Not sure exactly, why we assume that, but that's what she should have known better. Okay, in a chinami. But either way, that's what Rashi explains, and therefore over here, according to Ravashi, there's going to be some sort of knas. Hadra lach kol shah, and now we're going to start the third perek in Maseches Pesachos. Now the third perek is it's not going to necessarily shift gears so much. We're still talking about chametz and Pesach, right? We haven't reached the kodshim prakim yet. This Mishnah specifically at the beginning is going to talk about two types of chametz. One is a chametz in a mixture, in a taroves, in a mixture, and chametz in something like chametz noksha, chametz that's not really so edible so much. I'll explain exactly what these cases are. You'll see they're not so common, but you'll see. Let's dive into it. Ve'ilu over Pesach, these things you're going to be over on Pesach. The immediate question is over on what? Right? What are you violating here? So that's the machlokas important to mention between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says that it's Balirah Balimatzeh, right? You're not allowed to own these items on Pesach. And Tosos doesn't like that so much. Rabbeinu Tam says that no, you're not violating anything. But there's no Isra by Rabbi Matze. If you look at Tosos, first Tosos on the Perek, so Venir Lerbeinu Tam, right, a little bit lower down, right, Elu Ovrin Perish HaOchlin VaOvrin Hainu Me'al HaShulchan, that you have to take them off the table, but they're not actually something you're going to violate by Rabbi Matze. It says, Delav Bar Mechon Anu, because they are not things that you normally consume. Now, that's a little unclear because, we do mention, this first thing we mentioned is Babylonian Kutach, which is a dip. And we also have some beer that they used to. Okay, either way, we'll see. According to Tosos, on the stomach, he would have an explanation for all those items. But either way, Tosos doesn't like that. Just very, just keep that in mind. Anyway, ve'ilu over bePesach, these things you will violate for owning. Let's take Rashi by Rabbi Matzah, you violate for owning on Pesach. Kuta Chabavli, we'll explain what that is, what that was made out of. Shechar Hamadi, Midian beer, and we'll explain also that, we'll explain when we get there, but why that wouldn't be, that would be obvious, right? Owning any beer nowadays is usher, right? Straight up, it's Chometz Gomer. Chometz Adomi, vinegar from Edom, I guess, Edom. Zesom HaMitzri, and also Egyptian Zesom. We'll explain what that is as well. Those four are tarovos. Those are mixtures of chametz. And now we come on to chametz noksha, which you know for sure is not something that you can eat. Vizoman shel tzvayim. This is dyer's zoman, which is like liquid. Excuse me. Amilan shel tavachim. And tavachim are usually be shechters, but it does a shochet. But here it means a cook. The bread of cooks, and we'll see why that's not chametz. The kolan shel sfarim, and it's also something that shel sofrim. Sorry, that's the kolan. It's some sort of paste or ink of sofrim, of scribes. Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar says, af tachshit inashin, even not jewelry, but any type of women's cosmetics that has some sort of chametz issue. Again, the Gemara will talk about it. Zakal, this is the rule. Kol shehu mimin dagan, anything made out of grain. Sarei ze over Pesach, right? Hare elu be'azharav in behem mishum karis. Right? Anything that is from grain, you're going to be violate on Pesach. And these, by the way, as the Gemara Mishnah just points out, these are azharos, but it's not karis. This is not the mamish iser of karis that we talk about on Pesach. Right? That is going to be straight up bread, etc. All right. Either way, let's explain what these items are. They said three things about this Babylonian kutach dip. It messes up your heart. I guess it's not helpful, not healthy for those with heart issues. It blinds the eyes, and it makes a person weaker. Now, why would you eat that if it does that to you? Well, I guess, unfortunately, that's not akasha. Right? Many people drink plenty of Coca-Cola and smoke cigarettes, etc. So, obviously, that's not a stira. But either way, it's not so healthy, apparently. Metabtim es halev mishum nasiovi dechalva. It messes up a person's heart because of the cheese stuff. Not the cheese. Ugh, what is separated from milk or cheese? It is whey is the word I'm looking for. Whey. It has whey in there. Milcha. The salt is what blinds the eyes. Mistama. That's the salt that created the chiyuv of mayim achronim that we wash our hands with to make sure that there's no salt that could blind you. Well, not so common nowadays, but either way, we still kind of minagam vasechem biyadechem. Umachish is a guf mishum kumaniso de umma. And it weakens the body because the moldy bread. Very moldy bread, very lovely, lovely dip that they used to have over there. And that's again, obviously, the chametz issue. It's a tarovas of chametz. Tanur Rabbanan was under the brisa. Shlosha dvarim marbin azeva. Three things increase a person's waste. He has to go to the bathroom. Vakofin is a koma, makes him bend over, right? It's poor for posture. Vinotlin echad mechamesh meos mimor einav shal adam. And it takes 1/500th of a person's ability to see, a person's eyesight. Elohim, these are them. Pas kibar, lousy bread. With shechar chadash, and new, fresh beer. V'yara chai, and raw vegetables. Rashi says, he explains onions or radishes. Right, again, if you eat them a lot, okay, fine. Toner abarim and nerbaisa, right, shlosha dvarim imatin and sezev. And again, these physical results from eating these foods are not necessarily shaykh nowadays, but certainly they were back then. Right, obviously, nishtanot tzvayim. Certain sometimes these effects do not affect anymore, but could be that they still do. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, unfortunately. Either way, three things make a person have less waste. Has to go to the bathroom less. Vizokvin is a coma, makes a person stand up straight, meaning it helps his posture. Umirin is hayinayim, and it helps his eyes. Veilein, and these are them. As pas nakia, right, clean. Refined bread, right? Fine bread. Basar shamein, fat meat, meat with fat on it, and v'yayin yashan, and old wine. Pas nakia, what is that? That's talking about desimida, Or again, with good flour, Rashi says, with solas, right? That's what he said. If you remember, we had solas means good flour, right? With their grains are refined and very thin and not filled with anything. Basar shamein did sifirta delo iftach. That's a young goat, if you look at Rashi. Eiz shalo yalda. That's a goat that has not given birth. Okay. I guess that's the best type of meat. And yain yashan, an old wine, is atik atiki, right? Rashi says already 3 years old. Okay. Kol mili demali lahai kasha lahai. Anything that's good for this is bad for this. The kasha lahai, mali lahai. Anything that's bad for this is good for that. So Rashi says, l'chol izeh, kasha lizeh, meaning anything that helps for this illness is very often bad for another ailment. Right? It's not always the exact same, right? Remedy, not always, right? Don't medicate yourself, as it would say. Bar de zangvila retiva, except for newly picked ginger, upilpoy arichta, and long peppers, pasnakia, and clean bread, basar shamein, fat meat, right? Meat with fat, yayin yashan, old wine, and all those things, but because demale, the kuligufe, that they help the body entirely. Okay. Sheikh Ramadi, what is that? That's what we said. It was Median beer. Why would that not be chametz gomer? So, deramube may sari, because they added water of barley water in it. Now, what does that mean? Right? Implying that other beers do not use water of barley, right? Barley water. So the Rashi explains that back then they used to make their beer from dates. And Median beer was the only one, I guess, that it used our normal, what we know as beer today. Apparently that was the only thing that they used their process. That process was only used by the Medians. So apparently that was usur because they added some barley water, right? It was mostly dates and water, but they added some barley water, so therefore it could become chametz, it was a tarovis, etc. Right, nowadays, straight up beer is chametz gomor, chayef karis, etc. Because it's only made from barley. Pretty much. Okay. The chometz adumi, what about this Edom vinegar? The shadu be sari, right, they put barley in it. Okay. Rav Nachman said, back in the day when they had the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring the nesachim, the wine libations, that would come from the wine, from the grapes of Yehuda. Lo hayayin, I'm sure Yehuda machmitz. Because the wines there, they wouldn't go bad. Right? Ashinosin, lezochin, saurin, until you put barley in them. Meaning it was a very excellent type of grapes. Type of grapes and type of wine. So it wouldn't go bad, turn into vinegar, until you put barley in there to kind of mess it up, to ferment it. Falo, v'hayu karno, so chometz stam. And then they would call it regular vinegar, because that's how vinegar was made. V'achshav, inyinam shel adumim, machmitz, ashinos and the sochan saurim. And then nowadays, right, the same is true, except that we're talking about the wine of Edom, the wine of Rome, etc., etc., right, Italian wine. V'karno sa chometz adomi, that's what we call regular chometz, right, it's called Edom's vinegar, right, meaning all the great grapes and wine that used to come from Eretz Yisrael, now it's coming from Italy and from Rome, etc. Like I'm Mashinemar, to fulfill what the pasuk says, right? Imala hacharava, that I will fill the one that's destroyed. What does that mean? It's imalazu charavazu, imalazu charavazu, meaning that Chazal said many times that, again, it started with Yaakov and Esav, right? The bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav. Or really, Yaakov, rather. Let's just read that in one more line, and then we'll explain. Right, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha Ulaom Melom Yamatz. Really, it's from that pasuk, meaning that when the bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov, I take it back. That's the beginning of the parsha when Rivka goes to the Shiva Shem Ve'Ever, and they say, what's going on, right? She's having a hard time with the pregnancy. And she'll say, you'll have two nations come back. Right? One will be stronger than the other. So the Chazal say many times that right, when Yisrael is up, Rome is down. Rome is up, Yisrael is down. Right? Again, they say similar about Yishalayim. If Yishalayim is built, then Rome is destroyed. If Rome is built, Yishalayim is destroyed. So the same thing over here, that with the wine. Meaning the wine, the best wine used to come from Yehuda, then when Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Am Yisrael was exiled, so then now the great wines come from Italy. Now, Baruch Hashem, actually, the wines in Eretz Yisrael are actually making a comeback, right? And there are certainly some world-renowned wines nowadays. So maybe that's just another expression of the coming Geula. Okay. Tani Melinda Nebraisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Yehuda Barishono Halokeh Chometz Me'ama Aretz Eino Tzorech La'aser. Back in the day, originally, when a person took vinegar from an Amaretz, he did not need to take maestros. They were not concerned that they wouldn't take chuma and maestros. Because they assumed that the vinegar was made from temet. Temet was basically leftover grapes soaked in water, meaning there's very, very little bit of, not the grapes themselves, but like very little bit of grape leftovers, grape remnants put into water. It was a very weak and lousy type of wine. They made vinegar out of that, so meaning it wasn't chayiv in matanos. You didn't need to give trumas and maestros, so therefore you could buy it from an amaretz and you wouldn't have to separate anything. But v'achshav, but nowadays, right? Okay, chometz me'amaretz. If you take vinegar from amaretz, then tzarich la'aser shechazkazor eino ba ela min hayayin. Right? So they assume that the vinegar that is made nowadays, at least back then, was after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, was made from actual wine, and then you needed to take maaser. Right? But back then, but when they made it from temed, it was not chayiv in chumas and maestros. For Sav Rabbi Yehuda temed la bar isuru. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold this, that you don't have to take chumas and maestros from temed, from this grape remnants liquid that you make into like weak tasting wine? It's almost like this, they sell this like flavored water. Like you have a water with a hint of grape. So that's like similar to what it was. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't need to take chumas and maestros. V'atani v'lo d'rabraisa, how do you pronounce this? Hamisamed, maybe hamatzmed, someone who makes temed. Right? V'nasan mayim b'mida, and you pour it in the right amount of water. U'matza k'dei midaso, and you find that you take out the amount of temed, basically that you poured in, meaning the amount of temed taken out based on the liquid that you poured in. So potter, you're potter from any type of requirement to chumas and maestros because you haven't added anything to the liquid. Right? We assume that you took out the amount of liquid that you poured in. But Rav Yehuda says you're chayiv. Rav Yehuda says you're chayiv. We're going to say that basically this it looks and tastes like wine, as Rashi says. So that, right, the ozel baser chazusu v'taima. It looks and tastes like wine. So even though you poured out and you poured in and then you poured out, right, we still assume that it's chayiv and chumas and maestros. So the Gemara says this is what Rav Yehuda meant to say. Well, next you do amearetz al temet. No, he didn't mean that temet and chayiv and chumas and maestros. But temet is not so valuable, so we're not concerned that an amearetz is going to be lazy with separating these gifts. Right, he's not going to steal because there's not so much money there, and we're not concerned that he's going to cheat on that. Iboy Zema, another answer. Nechshedu, maybe Amaretz is concerned. We are concerned that Amaretz won't take Trumas and Maestros. But for Lokasha, ha de Ravka, ha bid de Ravka, va bid de Tzvurne. When Rabbi Yehuda said that you need to take Trumas and Maestros, that's bid de Ravka, that's with actual wine. But when he says you're not chayiv, that's with grape seeds, and it's not actual wine. It just gives a very weak flavor, and that's not actually wine that you have to take chumas and maestros from. Okay, fine. Meaning that would be considered water that is flavored, and not actual wine, which would be a product of grape and subject to chumas and maestros. Okay. Zizo Mimitzri, what is that? My Zizo Mimitzri, Taner of Yosef. Rav Yosef taught us that Tlasa Sari, Tlasa Kurtzimi, and Tlasa Milcha. It's one third barley, i.e., barley flour. One third, they translate Kurtzimi as saffron, which is very expensive nowadays. I can only imagine what it cost back then. Or maybe they had some, I don't know. But Tilsa Milcha, and one third salt. Rav Papa, okay, it's that type of dish. Rav Papa Mafik Sari Mayochiti. Rav Papa took out wheat and put in took out barley and put in wheat. Okay. Visimanech Simani. The way to remember who did what is the word Sisani, sorry. Meaning that Sisari had two S's, right? Rav Yosef and Sari. Okay, fine. That's how you would remember who did what. Tarulahu, right? Almost said Tarulahu. But Tarulahu, they would soak these items together. Vakalulahu, and then they would roast them. Vatachnilahu, and they would grind them. And Vishasulahu, and then they would drink them. Midivcha v'adatzarta, from Pesach, right? Divcha is, literally means a korban. So that's what they're referring to. Pesach, obviously, because that revolves around the Korban Pesach. From Pesach until Atzeret, which is Shavuos, Atzeret, which is Shavuos. The Komet Merafele, if a person is having a hard time going to the bathroom, so then it loosens him up. Udirafe Mekamele, if he's having some sort of diarrhea issue, it would help. Right, help them feel better. But if someone who is sick and a woman who is pregnant, so then it is dangerous. It's sakana, right? Give him a stomach because it kind of messes with your insides. Okay. Vizoman shel tzavayim. What is this? This liquid of people who are dying, D-Y-E. You know, I guess making colors, etc. Sachat ragimu maya dechiyuri tzavayim bahu labo. Here in Rehacha, in Bavel, Targimu, they translated this as bran water, okay, that they used to dye red cloths, I guess, red cloths. Vamilin shel tavachim, and this is a cooker's bread. Pastavua shelo evia shlish. This is bread made from grains that's not yet one third ripe. Shemenicha al pikadeira v'shoeves azuma, which basically a cook would put on top of a big pot, and it would absorb the smell. I guess the zuma is usually means bad. What do you call it? Not smell. Not liquid, not steam. Aromas, I guess. Right? The bread would absorb the aromas, and usually it's negative. I'm not actually sure. I would imagine they would sell it afterwards because it has an aroma of itself, its own, because it absorbs. It's like, you know, you're putting something over the soup, right? And the bread starts smelling like the soup. I don't know. Zuma is usually negative, but I guess I would imagine here maybe it's not. Okay. The kolon shall sofrim, again, this is a sofer stam's paste, or you will see what it was. Right, hacha targuma perura du ishkafe. Right, in Bavel, they translated it as glue. Okay, glue for making shoes. Right, rather. Rav Shimi Mechozna, Amar Rav Shimi Mechozna, says, zet tzipulan shall benos ashirin. No, it's the thing that the wealthy women use to remove their hair. Shemeshayaros osolavnos ayim. Meaning they leave that for the poor women. The poor girls would not be able to use that. The rich women had that for them. They had that way to remove hair. And I guess you know. Let's see here. Let's see Rashi. If I understand what he's saying exactly. First, I have to find it. Right, Tipulin shall benos ashirin, she shall solas. Right, the mishayerin mishirin shall the benos sovrim. Ah, meaning that you'd have a sovrim that would come to teach the children of the wealthy people, and that's what they would give those people, they would give for their daughters to remove their hair, because I guess they couldn't afford it, or that was like a cheap way of removing hair. Okay. Fine. So, Eini, is that really true? Tani Rabbi Chia, Arba Mini Medira. Rabbi Chia taught that there are four things that are used in the Medina, in the state, meaning using by everybody. Ushlosha Mine Umnos. And three things are different types of jobs. Meaning, what does that mean? Meaning, if you look at Rashi, he says there are four things that are used by everybody. Meaning, are the Mishnah, of the items in the Mishnah, the first four, Kutach, the beer, the vinegar, the Zisom, that's used by everybody. And then the second one, are mine umnus, is people who are are craftsmen use that. And that's referring to the zomen, amilin, and the kolon. And that contradicts what you're telling me over here. So via macho chipul and shabnoz ashirin, if you tell me that this is really what the women of the wealthy, the daughters of the wealthy people use to remove hair, it's my mine umnus ika. What kind of umnus is this? What kind of, you know, craftsman is using this item? Where it says, okay, fine, inechanami, so it must not be this, hair removal paste. But what else is it? And you're telling me it's glue, like you first said? Right? Glue for shoes? I call it shofrim. So why do you call it scribes kolon, meaning shofrim? Why do you talk about sofrim? Right? Kolon shel ratzanim, you should have called talk about shoemaker's glue. So Rav Oshia, Moshe said, no, the olam piruta dushkafe. Really, it is shoemaker's glue, right? In my cover, they call it shal sofrim. Why do you call it, why does he talk about the sofrim, the scribes? The sofrim, nami medabkin behu, nair sayin. Because the scribes would use it to glue together their papers. To make a book, right? To at least to glue them together, right? Obviously, not a Sefer Torah that you have to stitch with the gidim, but they would glue different types of books back in the day when they would write their their pirushim or whatever. They would glue their papers together with this shoemaker's glue. All right, either way, that's still chametz noksha and a problem on Pesach. Either way, we will stop over here and have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.